But Pride is more than just coming out one day a year to celebrate. It's also about standing united on tough days, too. It's about saying no to homophobia. It's about saying no to transphobia. No to hatred and discrimination in every form. And my friends, that is something that our government will always do. We will always stand up for what people here already know, that everyone is equal, no matter their gender, who they love, the color of their skin, or the way they pray.
That was Prime Minister Justin Trudeau speaking for Montreal Pride. The annual Montreal Pride Parade took place on Sunday, drawing tens of thousands downtown to celebrate the LGBTQ community. Trudeau walked in the parade alongside Quebec Premier François Legault, NDP leader Jagmeet Singh, and Montreal Mayor Valérie Plante. The parade caps off 11 days of festivities in the 36th edition of Montreal Pride. WestJet is facing a federal transportation inquiry after an Edmonton couple was bumped off a flight last month without being informed. Chelsea Williamson and her husband made it through check-in and security at the airport without being told that they were rebooked on a later flight. The federal tribunal tasked with overseeing air transportation says the inquiry will examine whether parts of WestJet policies are just and reasonable and whether they align with the new air passenger protection regulations. A WestJet spokesperson says they are cooperating with the investigation. And in international news, China criticized Taiwan over its offer of political asylum to participants in Hong Kong's pro-democracy protest movement, a day after hundreds of thousands of people marched peacefully in the streets. The government of Taiwan, a self-ruled island that China considers its own territory, strongly supports the protests. The protest movement's demands include the resignation of Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam, democratic elections, and an independent investigation into police use of force. To hear the newscast and to learn more about the news team, visit cjlo.com/news.
CJLO is a college community radio station broadcasting out of the Loyola campus of Concordia University in Montreal, Quebec. We broadcast at 1690 kHz on the AM dial and have a transmitter with 1000 watts of power. The views expressed on air do not reflect CJLO. Any views expressed during a show are those of the DJ and not of the station as a whole or its management. If you would like to find out more, please visit our website at cjlo.com. Thanks for your support and keep listening to CJLO 1690 AM, Montreal's underground radio.
Talento, fortuna, esperienza, impegno, costanza, coerenza. Tra genio e follia c'è poca differenza, hanno lo stesso punto di partenza. Ma se sei solo e ti perdi e non va come vorresti tu, non c'è un navigatore né un tutorial su YouTube. È bello se ti riconoscono, è bello se vai in TV, ma è meno bello quando sei tu che non ti riconosci più. Tutto è più facile visto dagli occhi degli altri, perché quando non sei tu che piangi, gli occhi sono meno rossi e meno grandi. Se vinci ti vogliono bene, ti fanno la ola, ti cantano un coro. La vittoria è una cosa di squadra, ma se perdi, perdi da solo. Per ogni ballerina che ha male i piedi e si medica, per ogni calciatore che risparmia per le scarpe nuove, ogni studente che non mangia si dimentica, o musicista che anche da stanco va in sala prove. Per ogni sportivo, artista, regista, scrittore, fotografo, astronauta, cantante o disegnatore, se c'è riuscito uno possiamo farlo tutti. Il tuo sudore, la tua occasione, che fai, la butti?
Nulla è impossibile se credi quello che fai.
After 3 long months of calculus weekends, our lives are finally coming back to normal with the return of the City Eye this weekend, and it's the return of the Calcio guys here on CJLO 1690 with Adriano DiNardo, Gianni Delacoli. I'm Nicholas DiGiovanni. back here for season number two. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. I can't. Yeah, it's so crazy to be back. It's amazing, and we'll definitely be spreading this Calcio love.
I'm really excited to be back. Definitely looking forward to the upcoming season. Got a lot of new faces in Serie A. Hopefully they do a lot of big impacts for us.
And one thing we didn't get to do last year, because we started later in September, we didn't get to do a season preview.
Yep,
and that's exactly what we're going to do today. We're going to have Azzurri fan Phil, as everyone knows him on Twitter.
Legend.
Absolute Man. Napoli legend. Join us later around 2:30. And we're just going to tee up the Serie A season. But before we do that, you guys want to listen to some of our best moments from last year?
I'm down.
Go for it.
Here were some of our funniest moments, not necessarily about soccer, just some of the shenanigans that go on here at the CJLO booth.
It just depressing. I don't know. It just, you know, it's heartbreaking to see, you know, us Italians, you know, we wear our emotions on our sleeves. And with a sport like soccer that's, you know, totally involved in the country of Italy, it just embarrassing. It's embarrassing. And I never want to go through this again. And I hope we don't. We do have, you know, youth coming in to the system. And you know what? I'm getting a little heated here.
It's,
you know,
okay. It's okay.
The fumes are coming out. But
get those emotions out of you.
it's a must do.
To it, where this is actual, just a purist form, which is about experimentation. So I'm not super excited about.
Experimentation. Is that a word?
Yeah.
Yeah, in St. Michelle it is. I don't know.
I think experimentation is a word.
Okay.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean,
so I basically compare Torino's offense to a dormant giant that is legally blind. Basically, they can wake up at any moment and just smash in like 3 or 4 goals a game.
Yeah, but listen, we're in a group where they're the favorites, even though they didn't make the World Cup last year, last World Cup.
Me.
I dropped my phone.
Me.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Any day that Juventus is champion of Italy is a good day.
All right, I'm done with the show.
Yeah. And it's been like that.
See ya.
And it's been...
I'm doing this.
They're going to be on a losing... Oh.
Go! 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 Piontek! Go! 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 Il pistolero! Go! Go!
I'm going to shut off your mic soon, Adriano.
Let's go! No, that's for sure.
Idri, was that funny?
Yeah, it was hilarious.
Yeah, you missed your line.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah, no, for sure. It was hilarious.
You could continue following us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, The Calcio Guys.
Yeah.
Spreaker. Yeah.
SoundCloud.
SoundCloud, Mixcloud.
Yeah.
We're on Mixcloud now.
All the clouds.
Oh, wow.
I think that was our original.
Yeah, we dropped the mixtapes.
Yeah, exactly.
Follow my SoundCloud.
So let's get down to business. Season starts this weekend, match day one coming up. Quite a few coaching changes this year. I think it's the first time in over 50 years that Roma, Juventus, Milan, and Inter all changed their coaches. In Roma, Ranieri out, Paolo Fonseca in. Juventus, obviously, Allegri out, Sarri in. Milan, Gennaro Gattuso, replaced by Marco Giampaolo. Meanwhile, Inter got Antonio Conte. Sampdoria lost Giampaolo, got Eusebio Di Francesco. Genoa took the highly named, highly touted coach, Aurelio Andreazzoli from Empoli. And then Hellas Verona, after their promotion, they hired Ivan Juric. Which team do you think is going to have the biggest impact this season?
I'm hoping it's Giampaolo with Milan. But besides like taking my Milan cap off, I don't know. I would probably say probably the most pressure is definitely Sarri. I think at Juventus, he has a lot to prove. They are 8-time Scudetto winning champions, and he's got a lot of pressure over there at Juve. Is his system going to work there in Turin? I think it's a wait and see. But I think probably the biggest impact, I think that will really impact the team, and I think just the whole society over there. I think it's going to have to unfortunately be at Inter, the snakes, but Conte over there, I think he's going to work a lot of magic, and I think they really trust him in his system, and he could bring out the best in players, and it's just straight facts. So I think, unfortunately, being a Milan fan, I think it's going to be Conte. Most pressure, I think, goes to Sarri, and I'm just hopeful for Giampaolo at Milan.
So for those who don't really know us that well,
Adriano
is the Milan fan.
Yes, sir.
Gianni is the Roma Napoli fan. I'm the Juventus fan. As you can see, we don't have any Inter fans here.
No.
And sometimes it shows. Let's ease off that Inter hate for a while. They might be a good team this year.
Yeah, they will.
Gianni, biggest coach.
Wow, that was amazing.
That we both said at the same time. We are one. Yes. We are united.
Gianni, biggest coaching impact?
I can't disagree with Adriano there. It's hard to put anybody else but Conte as the biggest impact. He's proven to do well in the international stage. He's proven to do well at the club level. He's a guy that has a repertoire of bringing out the best out of nothing. You look at some of his lineups and you see some of the players that he selected for his rosters, and you're like, what is he doing with these guys? And then all of a sudden they produce magic.
Yeah.
He made Graziano Pelé a player to get paid like fifth highest player at one point when he got transferred to China. He turned him into like a name for one point just to get. Like, before that, Pelé, who was he? Just the guy who was a target man in the box, let's say, because of his height?
Yeah. He wasn't even playing in Italy.
Yeah, exactly. So, in my opinion, like, he's the guy who Inter kind of needs because they were going through a bit of a rough patch, especially internally and externally with the media and whatnot, the whole Icardi mess, and that's still a mess going on for them. But they got a big name in Lukaku. And I know a lot of people don't put him to be great because he has his big mess ups and his big mistakes.
Big price tag too.
Exactly. But if there is a manager that can deliver with big players, it's Conte.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to say Paulo Fonseca is going to have a big impact at Roma. Roma, just because of the season they had last year. Mm-hmm. You know, last year was a bit of an embarrassing season. They let go of Di Francesco after their Champions League exit. You know, Ranieri came in. He did a good job. He was very respectable about the club.
Oh, Ranieri, you know,
He's a Roman. He's a Roma fan. But I think Fonseca is going to come in, coming from Shakhtar, and this team is going to suddenly challenge for Champions League again. Mm-hmm. They made some good moves. They got Paulo Lopez in goal. They got Gianluca Mancini in defense, which is a huge, huge acquisition. Obviously, they lost Costas Manolas to Napoli, but they got money for that. And they got Diawara.
Yes.
One of the better young midfielders in the league right now who didn't get much playing time.
He needs the time.
He needs the time. I think he will get a lot. And they got Leo Spinazzola. In my opinion, a big upgrade in Roma's system compared to Luca Pellegrini.
Yeah.
And then word on the street, rumors on Twitter have Davide Zappacosta going there.
Yep.
And apparently Zappacosta is going to be the main right back and Florenzi is going to play higher up the pitch.
Interesting.
It's going to be a new
That's
look.
That's news to me because I didn't even hear about that potential.
So I mean, this I read this morning.
Yeah.
So wow.
It's still a wait and see. But I think also another key thing about Roma, they re-signed Dzeko, a proven guy for their squad.
Fazio yesterday.
Fazio. Which I have mixed opinions on, but, you know, still a good defender. Zaniolo and Under that are also re-signed with the club. So I think keeping those guys in place, I think added to their mercato this season.
If I may make a stretch to say, I think Zaniolo is going to be their project. I think that's the guy that they're going to start building around.
Yeah.
And you can't let him go. If you let go of Zaniolo, especially for what he did last year, showing very, very, a very bright promise
positive,
in the future, you don't want to let go of that piece. So you got it. Out of all the players that they mentioned for re-signing, Zaniolo was the number one. For me, biggest re-signing that they had to do.
Absolutely.
Okay, quickly, before we have to cut the break, Mario Balotelli back in Italy, back in his hometown of Brescia.
Beautiful.
Just I'm how excited are that. You about this?
Super, super excited. I mean, I think everybody...
Super as in Super Mario?
Super as in Super Mario. I think it's good for the league. It's good for him. I hope, you know, he get his mind on track with his hometown club in Brescia. His parents are, you know, excited, crying, whatever, this and that. So, I mean, I think it's good for the league. I think he'll score a lot of goals, which we know he can do. And I don't know if it's on a limb, but I'm hoping that he could get back into the Nazionale too.
Nothing bad to say about this Balotelli transfer. It's a free transfer, great for Brescia. It's a big name coming back to Serie A. All he brings is excitement. He brings personality. He brings highlights. He brings entertainment. The guy himself will bring in more fans, and himself would bring more excitement for a small team like Brescia. So it would help them because they just came into Serie A.
Exactly.
So, well, not just. I mean, like, you came before. But long story short, they got back this season, and they would like to maintain, and a guy like Balotelli will help them maintain their position in Serie A.
Absolutely.
On the other side of break, we're going to talk about who had the best summer transfer window here on the Calcio Guys on CJO 1690.
Considering a master's, MBA, or doctoral degree? Mark Thursday, October 3rd in your calendar and get over to the Palais de Congrès de Montréal for the Study and Go Abroad Fair. The best part? Admission is free. Check online at www.studyandgoabroad.com for more info. Expo opens at 3 p.m., but the first seminar starts at 2 p.m.
If you like served with a side of a little bit of and a heaping helping of then you're gonna love BVST, your best and worst of rock and roll, country, punk, and metal, every Wednesday from 7 to 9, right here on CJLO 1690 AM.
Honey, I'm home.
Why are you home so late?
I was listening to CJLO 1690 AM.
Oh, I can't stay mad at you. I was listening to CJLO too.
Welcome back to the Calcio Guys on CJLO 1690 with Adriano DiNardo, Gianni Della Colli. I'm Nicholas DiGiovanni, and although we didn't get to watch a single game of the Serie A this past summer, there was still the U20 World Cup, U21 Euros, the Women's World Cup, but we had to follow along with all the transfer.
Mercato Manes.
Yeah, as Adriano likes to call it, the Mercato Manes.
Yes.
15 minutes. Azzurri fan Phil from Twitter is going to talk about Napoli's Mercato this summer. I want to ask you guys, there was a lot of movement in the Serie A.
Yeah.
Obviously, Juventus got the lit, Rabiot, Ramsey. Napoli got Di Lorenzo, Manolas. Milan got Bennacer, Krunic,
yeah. Leal.
Leal, Duarte. As I mentioned before, Roma got Mancini, Spinazzola, Paul Lopez. And then some smaller teams like Genoa, they got Schone from Ajax, they got Pinamonti, they got Bareca. But who had the best summer? I'm gonna start this one off.
Go for it.
I want to say Fiorentina. And not just in the players acquired, but in overall management.
Yeah.
Rocco Camusso comes in as new owner. He has that American influence. You know, he is American, but he grew up in Italy. He played soccer in Italy in Calabria. And he wants this team to succeed. He's not coming in with that American mentality that he's just going to come in
As an investment.
He's an Italian. You know, but yeah, he did live in the States and made his money in the States. And the fans love him already in Florence. He's already put some money in. They have about at least 10, 12 signings I'm looking here, including Eric Pulgar from Bologna, Kevin Prince-Boateng from Sassuolo, and Frank Ribéry.
It's possible, yeah.
It's possible on a free.
Reports.
I think the key thing, though, that just really made him stand out is the fact that he came out publicly and saying he's not letting go of Chiesa.
Yeah.
Because Chiesa is Fiorentina right now. You lose Chiesa and you fall back another 5 years because he's your best young player right now. And, like, remember at the beginning of the summer, those rumors that Chiesa was probably linked to Juve. I was panicking. I was hoping that was going to happen.
Same here.
But, I mean, you had, like, there was all these rumors. And Chiesa's like, no, I never want to leave Fiorentina when he officially comes. And even the owner just confirmed that he's like, no, I'm not letting him go. He's not even for, like, $120 million. I'm not going to let go of Chiesa. So.
Yeah, he could have made a lot of money.
Easily.
If he was James Palotta, with all due respect to Roma.
No, trust me. I know what you mean. Yeah, exactly.
That's where that non-American mentality is from Camiso's part.
And that's what costed Roma last year, which is the business mentality.
Yeah, but I also think if the Della Valle family would have kept the team a bit longer, I think Chiesa would have been gone. I think Camiso definitely put in a lot of influence and really tries to build up this project that they're going on there in Florence. And I think hopefully, you know, the players can buy into that. And what he says, I think the fans already love me, but they need to just give me time. And I would definitely stand by that.
Who had the best summer?
For me, I'm gonna go with Napoli. We have, as you said, Azzurri fan Phil coming on later. He probably can talk a bit more at length. But for me, I'm gonna say Napoli. I think getting Manolas in the defense, pairing up with Koulibaly, I'm super excited for that. I'm not a Napoli fan, but I think just a general fan of Serie A will definitely appreciate that. I think they'll probably be the best defensive tandem in the league, maybe even in Europe. I think it.
I mean, Chiellini and Dilit have something to say about that, but I think Koulibaly, Manolas,
but
might be better.
Yeah, okay, but Dilit still has to prove himself in Serie A.
Exactly,
so,
that's why.
Exactly, yeah. So I think Manolas and Koulibaly, I think will be a great tandem, as I said. Obviously, there's reports now that Chucky Lozano's coming to Napoli, which I think is a big, big plus for them on the offensive side, and I think just their. He's fat. He's super fat. Chucky Lozano. I think all the Mexican fans are pretty excited for his big move. Yeah, I mean, I think the pieces that they brought in are impactful. I mean, they've obviously been rumored with Icardi, but I don't know if that will happen. I think it would be a plus for them as well, but it's, I think, another waiting game for that. But I think it's the pieces that they brought in are impactful, and I think will go a long way. Plus the guys that they are obviously keeping and developing another year under Ancelotti, a great coach, as I've always said. I think they'll have a great season this year.
Just to add some variety, I was going to say a different team from, but just to add to the Napoli part, one of their issues I said continuously last year was getting supporting partners for Koulibaly. I said many times that guys like Marurui and Hisai weren't perfect enough for him. They were terrible. And getting guys that are dependable like Manolas, even though he's not one of the greats, he's still pretty solid and he'll do a good job to support him. And getting a younger right back in Di Lorenzo is going to be solid for Napoli because I think he could flourish under Ancelotti. But the team I chose that probably had the best mercato was probably Juve. Honestly speaking, they're bolstering up their young defense. Now they got a guy like Delight that just added. He was probably like the biggest young name that was transferred this summer.
Yeah.
And you got a fan favorite in Buffon back as a free transfer. Like the whole idea about breaking the record thing, I don't believe that. This is part of the contract. Was that actually proven?
Well, I don't know.
In eight weeks, I'm going to be fuming.
Yeah, because if
Adriano's always fuming.
Yeah. No, because if that's part of the contract for him to get to return, that was pretty stupid. But yeah. I doubt Buffon would be disrespectful like that. Losing Pellegrini to Juve kind of hurts as a Roma fan. He was great. I enjoyed him. And Ramsey has a free transfer. Even though it was already confirmed from a while back, it's still now they have him, and he's got a lot of expectations. But I think he's probably the guy to deliver. So Juve took a good team and made him better, and that's what bothers me because now Napoli has a bigger step to catch up behind. Before there was a big gap, now it's an even bigger gap.
Okay, one team we liked watching last year that unfortunately had to go down to Serie B, Empoli. You know, it goes to show how good they were, and you know, they just needed one goal at the end against Inter to stay in Serie A. But pretty much the rest of the league snatched up their players. Bennacer, Kunic to Milan, Di Lorenzo to Napoli, Caputo to Sassuolo. So we're all happy about Chicho Caputo staying in the Serie A.
Traore too.
Traore also to Fiorentina. Sassuolo.
Yeah.
Dragowski to Fiorentina.
Yeah.
So now we got three new teams in the Serie A. We're welcoming back after one season Hellas Verona, and then Brescia, Lecce are back after a while. Which team has the best opportunity?
Brescia.
To stay? Brescia? Yeah.
Brescia.
They're like Parma last year.
I think it's a fan favorite now, Brescia, coming back up to Serie A.
Yeah, because everybody already had eyes on them because of Tonali.
They also won the Serie B.
Yeah. True. But originally everybody had eyes on him because of Tonali, because you're like, okay, this guy's, you know, scouted to be the next Pirlo. He's the next big midfielder for Italy.
Yeah.
You got a lot of high expectations for him, and he has delivered, and he plays phenomenally well. And now you add a player like Balotelli to the team. Like, and it just, all it costs is just a bit of money. It doesn't cost like a whole huge transfer fee.
You're just paying his contract.
And it helps him out so much. And the fact that he takes, I guess you could say he took a bit of a hometown discount. Like, you know, like he's playing in front of his family. Every game for them is going to be exciting to watch because of those two there. Not to take anything away from the entire team, but Brescia, out of all the teams, Brescia has got a 20-plus goal scorer potentially. And Balotelli.
And they already have Alfredo Donnarumma, who led the Serie B last year.
Yeah, with God knows how many. He had a lot of goals in
Serie B. I think almost 30.
Yeah, it was remarkable.
Don't forget, Serie B is a different monster than Serie A, but you know, I don't think he's going to get that much. But Balotelli has played in competitive leagues before.
For sure.
So he's going to be the leader on the team. He's going to be one that's going to be like showing them the way how to get to the promised land, let's say.
I'm excited for Tonali. I think, as you said, you nailed it on the head with all, you know, all the praise on him. Now he's getting his chance to play in Serie A. He's going to get those experiences in Serie A, which I think are extremely crucial for a young kid like that. With these experiences, I think his value can only go up, especially if he starts to play well. And I'm excited for Brescia. I think it's honestly now it's the fan favorite. Now Balotelli came back to his hometown, so I think they're the obvious favorite to probably stay up. But yeah, that's how I think a lot of fans see it.
Okay, moving away a bit from the Mercato, I know we talked about this before, Adriano.
Yeah.
AC Milan, they had big news in the summer. They chose to strike a deal with UEFA and pretty much put themselves out of Europa League for financial fair play, a regulation. So Torino took their spot.
Yeah.
Or sorry, Roma took their spot in the Europa League. Torino took Roma's spot in the qualifications. They actually play Wolverhampton.
What was this?
On Thursday in the first leg in the Europa League playoffs. But what we want to focus on is Milan choosing to stay out of Europe. Do you think this was a good choice?
Personally, as a fan, as a diehard fan, I would definitely say yes. I mean, the objective has been Champions League for a long time now. To take a hit in a competition that, no knock to Europa League, but is a bit lesser, I think is a good thing. They can really focus on the Campionato this year, Coppa Italia too if they want. But if fans want to believe it or not, they're in a rebuild, another rebuild with this team. And I think taking a decision like that, that might be a big decision for a lot of people coming out of Europa League. I think it's a good pill to swallow because they can really focus on what their main objective is for this season, and it has to be top four once again. This team needs to be there. They have the DNA from the past, and I think they need another stint in the Champions League to grow as a club and to make more history. So for me, I'm going to say yes, it was a good decision. To come out of Europa League, and I think there'll be a lot more positives coming out of it than negatives going forward.
From an outsider's perspective, I think it was the best decision AC Milan could have made. If you're AC Milan management, you obviously have high expectations for your club. It's because it's a club with a very, very profound and diverse historic history.
Yeah,
historic history. Wow. But yeah. Anyways,
this
but
is
back
the English teacher.
Right? Yeah, pretty much. But what I'm trying to say is that your expectations is going to be Champions League next year.
Yeah.
So what would you rather give up? A potential Champions League, giving up Champions League next year or giving up Europa League this year? I think it's an easy choice to make.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So sacrifice the now so you can have the promise later.
But Torino has to be happy with how far they've gone in the qualifications. Mm-hmm. Do you think they beat the Wolves?
I think it's going to be tough. I mean,
Patrick Cotone's. Wolves.
Yeah, Patrick Cutrone.
Cutrone versus Belotti.
Don't make me shed a tear here, but but yeah, I think it's gonna be a good match. I mean, always going against an English team, you know, they play well over there in England. As much as we bash them, I mean, they play well. I think Wolves has a good shot, and I think Torino has a good shot. I think it's gonna be a good matchup. Torino, obviously, getting into this into Europe is kind of especially now, been a bit like new, so. Have not a lot of experience, but I think they're playing well, and I think they can definitely do it.
Quickly before break and before our interview with Azzurri fan Phil, which Italian team goes the furthest in Champions League and Europa League, and how far do they go? I say Champions League, Juventus wins it. Europa League, wow. Roma goes to the semifinals.
This guy.
Wow.
Yeah, he's going to say that every year.
You guys go.
Go for it, Johnny.
Furthest in Champions League, you do have to give it to Juve. I don't think winning it. Semifinals, sure. Winning it, I don't know. They always seem to disappoint or make mistakes, and they're not convincing anymore. In Europa League, yeah, I guess I can give it to Roma. I can't really disagree with that one. But I don't say winning it for Juve. I say semifinalists, and I say Roma because last year's. Result really makes me discourage international competition. Top 16.
To change it up, I'll go Napoli for Champions League, and for who's in Europa League? Roma and
Lazio, Roma, and possibly Torino. And then, and don't forget, Atalanta, Juve, Napoli, and Inter could go down to Europa League.
True. So
many hypotheticals.
So exactly. I'm going to say Napoli for Champions League just to change it up. And I'll go Atalanta when they go back down to Europa League.
How far?
I'll probably say semis.
And there you go. Adriano predicts Napoli to win the Champions League. I'm sure auxiliary fan Phil will be happy
I'm
with.
I'm buttering him up a bit.
Yeah, there you go. That's next on the Calcio Guys on CGO 6090.
Hey, what's Concordia Music Zone out?
Well, what isn't it? We hold music and social events, as well as workshops, and host a show on CGLO 1690 AM.
A show? What do you play?
Hip-hop, soul, jazz, and R&B, with a focus on what's new and local. You can also expect interviews and live performances.
We provide a platform for local artists to promote their music, art, and projects, and to connect them with the Montreal community.
I'm sold. When's your show?
Every Monday from 4 till 5 p.m., only on CJLO 1690 AM and online at cjlo.com.
And make sure to follow hashtag CMZO on social media.
You know, I have one simple request, and that is to have sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads. Now, evidently, my cycloptic colleague informs me that that can't be done. Can you remind me what I pay you people for? Honestly, throw me a bone here. What do we have?
CJLO.
Right. Are they ill-tempered?
Absolutely.
Well, that's a start.
Welcome back to the Calcio Guys on CJLO 1690 with Adriano DiNardo. I'm Nicholas DiGiovanni. This week, we have a special guest, someone who we tried to get last year, but we couldn't. Auxiliary fan Phil. You've probably seen him on Twitter. He likes to get involved in all the city banter between transfer rumors and games and rivalries. But he's a diehard Napoli fan. And straight off the bat, Phil, how did you like Napoli's mercato?
So it's not done yet, as I think most people probably see every day. You know, there's still teasing about James, now maybe Icardi. I think so far it has been very good. I think bringing in Manolas is a big deal. You know, losing Albiol could have been a real problem for us if we had to stick with someone like Maximovic, which was never really going to happen. But to be able to land a big player like Manolas is a pretty big deal for us. So now we're going to see how else we reinforce. Di Lorenzo on the right is also important. Elmas is someone that has showed quite a bit of promise so far in preseason. So I would say things are very good, and it's not done yet.
So obviously you mentioned James, but is there one more move you'd like to see Napoli make before the end of the transfer deadline?
Well, I think I've personally made it clear that James is coming, in my opinion, for a number of reasons. I believe that that it's pretty much certain. Now, who knows? I know crazy things happen, but you know, if I still had to pick one that I would want to see happen, it would be that one. But aside from that, since I believe that it is happening, you know, Lozano is going to be a big one for us as well. That's pretty much certain also. So probably the only missing piece would be up top. I certainly have my reservations about Icardi, and I wouldn't put money on him coming because I do believe that he wants Juve, but again, who knows?
All right, simply put, is Napoli better or worse than last year?
I definitely think that we're better.
So can they challenge for the Serie A title?
Yep, absolutely.
All right, then what does Napoli have to do tactically to challenge for that title against Juventus?
Well, so I'm a fan of Milik. I think he can score some pretty important goals. I think especially on set pieces, he has been pretty decisive. There were a couple of times last season where he was big. The problem with Milik is that he's inconsistent. I mean, he can have quite a few good matches and then he'll go missing. So we do need more consistency in front of goal. And I mean, he also misses some really, really golden opportunities right in front of goal. I mean, unfortunately, one of them was against Barca in the preseason match in Miami. You know, I was right there watching it, and it was just criminal for someone so talented to have some really bad errors like that. So he needs to improve on that front, or we need to bring someone in that is going to be more consistent.
So obviously you mentioned you went down to Miami to watch Napoli play Barcelona, and obviously there was a good amount of Napoli fans down there. I mean, just how was that experience interacting with so many other fans from across North America?
It was really amazing. I think we had a great turnout. Obviously, we were outnumbered by Barcelona fans. That's not going to be shocking in the United States, especially in South Florida. But I think we had a great turnout. It was great to meet up with a number of fans, quite a few that I've already met, so seeing them again was great. But also, we had fans come down from Montreal, from quite a distance, California as well. So to be able to meet them for the first time was pretty cool. And I think it shows the level of dedication of the fans here in the United States to make that kind of trip, because Napoli haven't been here since, I believe it was 1982. So hopefully we make this as a consistent thing. The team can really build as a brand, I think, if we do this every summer.
And I actually wanted to ask you that about the Napoli marketing. Obviously, they've been notorious. De Laurentiis has been notorious for kind of not modernizing his team, not branding his team enough. So what do they have to do to get their name out worldwide?
Yeah, if we want to consistently compete for titles, and not just domestically, long-term in Europe, this is something that has to be done. You see other teams are able to build themselves as a brand. That helps attract players, too. That helps attract other investment in the team. And that allows them to compete for these titles. So, I mean, look at a team like Manchester City in the Premier League. You know, before 2009, with all due respect, and my girlfriend is a City fan, before 2009, how many fans outside of England would even know that the City of Manchester had another team? You know, for the longest time, Manchester City were this other team. And over the last decade, they have been able to build themselves, and now they're consistently seen as a title contender, not just in England, but obviously in Europe. And we want to be able to do that, maybe not in the next couple of years, but long-term, who's to say that we cannot be a team like that?
Part of this modernization is the renovation of the São Paulo. It was for the World University Games. Not much was done to it, but they did get new seats. It does aesthetically look nicer. I mean, is it going to attract fans to the stadium?
I think so. I know there have been reports about our season ticket numbers still being low. Obviously hope that picks up, but I think week by week we will see more fans, especially if the team makes the final big signings. I think that will bring more people to the stadium. You know, there was concern last season from a good amount of the fan base that De Laurentiis wasn't doing enough, so people stayed home. But being able to renovate the stadium, which, by the way, for anyone that really thinks that this is the team's responsibility, it really is on the local and the regional government, because they own the stadium. But because they were able to do that, and right now they're working on the dressing room too, That should be pretty big for us. So hopefully we do see a more consistent showing at the San Paolo, not just for the big matches.
Obviously this year, Lorenzo Insigne was named captain. How important was it for the Napoli fans to have one of their own named as the leader of the team?
It's incredibly important, but with that also comes a lot of responsibility. And so he has had to shoulder a lot of criticism over the years, quite frankly, but especially now as the captain. More is expected. And I think there is some criticism that is justified. I think there are times, though, when it is taken too far. Unfortunately, I do think there's a segment of the fan base, small, but still a segment that is vocal, that would prefer to see him go elsewhere, that have developed this agenda against him for whatever reason. But I think most of the fans are behind him. I think most of the fans know that this could really be a very special season. So, you know, we should be united behind him and behind the rest of the team, because now is one of our best chances in years to actually win the title.
Looking forward to the Serie A season, is there a team you think will win the Serie A championship?
I'm not quite sure just yet. I want to see how the remaining week plays out, any other signings. And that goes for other teams as well. I will say I do think that the top four race, the fight specifically for the final Champions League spot, will be interesting this season, as it has been for the past few seasons. I will say I do think that Inter are probably going to move out of fighting for that final spot. I do think Conte will be big for them. As for who the champion will be, I like to usually have that set probably a day or two before the season starts. But I do think it's going to be a real fight this season. It's going to be one of the most interesting Serie A seasons we've seen in a long time.
All right. Although you did not name a specific team as champion, who do you think are going to finish top four and make Champions League? Not in any specific order. Who do you think are going to make Europa League? And who are the three teams you think are going to go down to Serie B next year?
So I would say top four in alphabetical order. I'll do it that way. Inter, Juve, Milan, and Napoli. Though I do think probably Milan are the ones fighting for that last spot. For Europa, probably Lazio. You can't entirely count Roma out for one of the remaining Europa spots. I think that's mainly because of the quality of the other teams fighting for it being not as great. Though, you know, Atalanta will certainly be in the mix, I think, for one of the Europa spots. I don't think they're going to repeat for top four. There's a lot on their plate for this season. In terms of relegation, not something I've looked at too closely yet, but I would say that I think Verona will go down. I think Udinese will have another tough season, but they always seem to scrape by. Bologna would probably be a relegation contender this season as well, but I haven't looked too much at who will be you know, candidates for B next season.
And lastly, Phil, obviously you're really active on Twitter. You're really involved with all the transfer rumors. Just you like to get involved with other fan clubs. You pretty much live on Twitter. I mean, how do you keep up with all this?
No, you know, contrary to popular belief, I don't. You know, Twitter can be a great source for news. I get a good amount of my news there. But I do actually correspond with fans in not too much of a bantering setting offline as well. So I think that that is a good source of conversation. Twitter is great though, because it really can bring together fan bases, bring together rivals. So while people may think of some of the bantering back and forth that goes on when they think of me, honestly, it has done a great job connecting me with so many others in such a positive way. And that, again, that stems, that spans, fan bases. We've done quite a bit in uniting fans in Philly specifically. You know, the number of meetups that we have for matches, it's really something good for the game. We're rivals, but you know, at the end of the day, we can keep it civil and still have fun. That's what's important.
Thanks for joining us today on the Calcio Guys, Phil.
You got it.
Ciao.
Hope to see you guys soon.
August 20th to 25th, MuTech presents 6 days and nights of electrifying experiences, showcasing live electronic music and digital creativity with more than 80 artists for its 20th edition this year. Tim Hecker and Konoyo Ensemble, August 21st at Théâtre Maisonneuve. Three epic nights at MTELUS, the all-live, all-improv Circle of Live with Sebastian Mullard, Matthew Johnson, and more, August 22nd. Friday Techno with Blauan on August 23rd, and then Dance Till Dawn with Jelen, Nicola Cruz, and more, August 24th. For more info, schedule, free programs, and tickets, hit mutech.org or download the app.
We have the students on the run. And as children finish school, we will continue helping them to gamble their lives and futures on drugs.
This is CJLO.
Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the Calcio Guys with Gianni Del Colli, Adriano DiNardo, and Nicholas Di Giovanni. Thanks again to Azzurri fan Phil for taking time for that interview.
You really have a hard time with his name. Azzurri fan Phil.
Azzurri fan Phil. Too many fuh sounds. Azzurri fan Phil.
Great interview, though.
Awesome.
Thank you, Azzurri fan Phil. Back to the Serie A season now. Kicks off on Saturday with Parma Juventus and then Fiorentina Napoli before seven more games on Sunday, and then finally Inter Milan Lecce on Monday. As per usual, there's not too many big games in the opening weekend, but next weekend we get Napoli Juventus and Lazio Roma. Pretty early on for these derbies.
God. Crazy this stuff.
Next weekend I'm away from town and I screw it. I'm just gonna find the best way to watch it. I don't care.
Both of your teams have big games.
Yes.
Looking ahead at some of the other big match days. Match day 4, you got Milan Inter. Match day 7, Inter Juventus. Match day 11. This probably my favorite one. Torino Juventus, Roma Napoli, Milan Lazio. So you got Derby della Mole, Derby della Sole, okay, Milan Lazio, which is still a good game. And match day 16, you have Derby della Lanterna, Genoa Samp. Match day 18, you have another Derby, Fiorentina Bologna. And then lastly, on match day 19, two big games, Lazio Napoli, Roma Juventus. Which is your favorite out of these match days? Which one are you looking forward to the most?
Myself?
None of them.
Napoli Juve. It's going to be Team 1 and Team 2 going after each other, and these are the crucial games that helps make the difference at the end of the season. Because don't forget, like, everybody predicts these teams to go 1-2, right?
Yeah.
And logically speaking, you put Juve 1, Napoli 2, and then there's some people who really are tired of seeing Juve, and they just put Napoli 1st and Juve 2nd. I don't agree with that, but long story short, when it's Napoli-Juve, it's, even though you get 3 points, it's like as if you're creating a 6-point gap, so to speak.
Yeah.
Hypothetical 6-point gap.
It's a 6-point game.
Yes.
You win 3 points, you take away 3 points from
exactly.
Your rival.
Exactly. So these are crucial games, and the fact that it's already early on in the season can set the tone for everything else. So I myself, out of all these games you mentioned, week 2 is going to be the biggest one for me for Napoli Juve, because both Napoli is my only team that I have that has a serious contention for the Scudetto, and I would rather see them beat Juve early on to get as big of a lead as possible than see them trying to play catch-up for the rest of the season.
I absolutely agree with you. I think setting the tone early, as much as I've had my mixture of emotions with how early these games are, Serie A doing it once again with the calendar, it's always a mess. But no, honestly, I think it's good. Set the tone. I'm gonna go to Derby della Madonnina week 4. Inter against Milan. So I think setting the tone, as Johnny said, early, especially against a rival, crosstown rival. You can't get any better than that. I think if Milan can set the tone early and take away those points from Inter right off the bat, I think it'll go a long way down the stretch, because as Uri Van Phil said, as I actually agree with him as well, I think the third and fourth spot is going to be between Inter and Milan. So getting these points early, setting the tone, I think is going to be very, very crucial.
Okay, last year, Gianno, you had a big problem with VAR.
Yeah, VAR, yeah.
This
VAR.
Year, it's going to be the calendar.
Calendar, VAR, it's, yeah. Got my mixed emotions.
So, looking forward to the season now. A lot of people obviously has Juventus as the predicted champion. If they win this year, it'd be their third different coach during a 9-season Scudetto winning streak. But I don't think they're going to win.
How?
I think Conte's Inter is going to... I think Conte...
This guy's
Johnny's
mind.
Shocked.
This guy's playing mind games.
But... I don't know why.
You have one of the all-time greats playing on your team. How?
Okay, they're going to focus on Champions League. Conte is going to... This is Antonio Conte we're talking about. He won in England. He won in Italy. Why can't he win in Italy again with Barella?
He's only saying that because he's ex-Juventina.
No.
That's why he's saying that.
Because eventually Juventus is going to have their streak ended.
And you're going to say Conte is going to be the one to break the streak.
Yes.
We'll see.
Well, Ancelotti couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Napoli's been trying for
Ancelotti, it's
God knows
first
how many
season.
Years.
When Sarri was finally established, Napoli almost won it 2 years ago, but they kind of shot themselves in the foot right at the end when it was Sarri's last season.
Okay.
91 points.
Yeah, and Ancelotti took it this year to set himself in. Now he's getting himself settled. They got they fixed some mistakes. They fixed some holes. So how do you expect, out of all teams to dethrone them, it's going to be Inter?
Because they got a much better coach.
Inter got better, but I don't see them finishing second.
And the players that have suit Conte's style, especially Barella. Barella, in my opinion, he's going to be the best midfielder in the league this season, playing under Antonio Conte. Since he's not going to be that bad as well. Lukaku fits his style of physical football, something that the Serie A pretty much hasn't had since Conte left, 5 years ago? So, okay. I say Inter a champion, Juventus second, Napoli third. I'm not going to go Milan fourth. I'm going to go Roma fourth.
What
I'm
is
go
this
Roma
guy
fourth.
Smoking?
This guy's busting.
Milan fifth.
Who's your dealer? I need to contact him.
Atlanta sixth, and Fiorentina wins Coppa Italia. Lazio seventh.
Interesting.
Wow.
Champion... Top four plus Europa League and Coppa Italia. Hey, Gianni.
Wow.
Johnny's shocked.
No, we don't know what to say over here on this other end of the table. After
I picked Juventus to not win, and you're giving me a hard
time.
Yeah,
because it's all mind games. It's all mind games. This is all mind games. He knows they're going to win. He's going to say, Inter's going to win.
The last 3-4 weeks, they come in with his freaking scarf, his jersey, play the song.
Oh, he's a beautiful day.
Oh, they have
when
Conte.
Juve wins the champion.
He's going to win it all, Conte. Yeah, okay. So, and he's ex-Juventina too, so yeah, of course. But it pains me to say, I'll stick with, I guess, Juventus winning the Campionato.
A man of culture.
As much as I would want Napoli. As much as I would want Napoli maybe to surpass them and not Inter.
Hey, I want that too. But
I think being realistic, I think they probably have the best shot. I'm going to go Napoli second, of course. I won't put Inter out of the Champions League. I think they'll definitely do well under Conte. I don't think they'll win the championship, but they'll come third, in my opinion. And I'm going to stick with Milan fourth, getting the last Champions League spot. Europa League, I'm going to go Atalanta fifth and Roma sixth, and winning the Coppa Italia. It's probably gonna be I don't know. I'm gonna give it to Napoli, and what does that mean? Somebody else has to go to Europa League.
Yeah,
number seven.
I'll put Fiorentina because I like the Comiso project.
All right, so before the show, I was going to put Atalanta in my top four. Then I was reminded that Di Francesco is the manager there now. I'm like, oh, okay.
No,
let me just
Sampdoria.
No, he's not Samp.
Oh, I thought you, guys
no, they pretty much kept their team. Gasparini, they, I mean, they lost Mancini.
Oh, it's Gasparini. Thank you. Gasparini. I don't know. I don't know why. Okay,
they kept pretty much the team. They
acquired Muriel.
Okay, yeah, they acquired Muriel. So.
Okay, but either way, okay, it doesn't really change.
But they got Skrtel.
Skrtel, yeah. Okay, big defender.
That probably just changes.
They didn't lose many players.
Hold on, let me just.
They didn't gain very much either, but they didn't lose, which was, I think, the most important
thing. I think that's the best thing at
the most important. Yeah, exactly. Okay,
so. I put Juve to win the Scudetto, because easily speaking, because they're an amazing team that just got even better. So it's hard not to put them as the winners. Because even if you get guys like, okay, if we're not gonna play Ronaldo, let's just put in Dybala. Oh, well, we're just gonna sub in Ronaldo the last 30 minutes. The next thing you know, he gets them that crucial goal that they need. You know, it's
yeah.
Who are we gonna put? Rugani, Delight. We got Chiellini. They could just mix and match, and they still have a solid squad no matter what you do. So. It's hard not to say Juve's not going to finish first. Napoli's a great team, but they don't have that much depth that Juve has. That's the issue. They can't keep up with that much depth. Mm-hmm. Ancelotti's amazing for mix and matching and getting most out of his, let's say, his bench or his B squad, but Napoli's B squad is nowhere near Juve's B squad. So that's why I put Juve first. Napoli second, easily. But this time, I think they're going to give a bit more of a challenge than they did last year. Last year was an adjustment period for Ancelotti. So I think this year, the guy is a proven Champions League winner. What, three times?
Yeah.
Three times?
As a player, too.
Yeah, so I have no doubt that Ancelotti is going to get results with Napoli soon. But it's coming. But he also needs a roster, too. Then I put AC third, because I think AC this year, they're going to build upon what they did last year. And Inter, even though they got Conte, they got Lukaku, they also did lose N'Golan. I put them as fourth. I'm going to give Conte the year to adjust. But I did put them as Coppa Italia winners. I did put them as Coppa Italia winners. Because I think when it comes to the domestic competition, if they can't challenge the league, I think they might put a bit more of an effort into the domestic trophy. And then from there, I put Atalanta fifth. I put them higher than Roma. I put Roma sixth, because even though they did do some refreshing changes, it's the organization itself is a bit of a mess, and it leaches down into the players. A lot of key pieces lost for Roma, like El Shaarawy, De Rossi. I don't know. Even though I'm happy for De Rossi going to Boca Juniors, getting his goal, I'm really happy for him. I wish him the best, but you can't let a guy that has a history of Roma like that go. Then the guy who you got to replace him last year, you loan him away in Nzonzi. They did add a lot, so you know what? I'll give them benefit of the doubt. I still say they'll finish like maybe sixth. And then because of Inter winning the Coppa Italia, that seventh place spot's going to go to Fiorentina.
Okay, we got about 2.5 minutes left in our show. Capo Cannonieri, top goal scorer in the Serie A. Who's it going to be this year? Obviously, it was Quagliarella who won last year.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go. So far. It's going to be tough for Quagliarella to repeat. I don't think Lukaku is going to...
Nope.
He's going to have an adjustment period. You know what? I'll go with Ronaldo. I'll go with Ronaldo. He just continues scoring goals.
I'm going to go with Adri's boy, Piontek. Did I stole him from you? Sorry. Yeah, it's okay. You can say the same thing.
He's wearing the number 9 in Milan. That's bad luck.
It's okay.
Shh. Okay. It's Piontek.
Easy.
Yeah, at Piontek, imagine last year, it was Genoa before he got transferred over to AC.
Yeah,
so imagine with Genoa, he was getting all the scoring prowess. Then he just continues it with AC. Now, imagine with a better team in AC Milan, what he could do for the entire season.
Quiet down in February, March, April. Quiet down after a while in Milan. Now the thing is, he's the guy. With Cutrone guy gone, he's the guy.
So,
and they're putting a lot of faith in Suso, too.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to give it to Piontek. I think he's going to continue on what he was doing last year.
Very well said. I think as much as I would love to see Quagliarella do it again, I think it's a little unrealistic. I was going to say Piontek too. There's a different system under Gianpaolo. I think he can get the best out of him. I think he's got another player to bounce off of with Leao if he does start. So I think that tandem can be pretty good. And I'm going to go, just like how he had Kwame at Genoa, I think Leao can be that similar player. So I'm going to go Piontek Il Pistolero again.
Who scores more goals between the fan favorites, Chicho Caputo or Mario Balotelli?
Balotelli.
I'm going to go Balotelli just because I think he's going to get more time.
I'm going to go Chicho Caputo.
Hey, of course, your
and
boy.
We've got about less than a minute left. Which goalie leads the league in clean sheets by the end of the season? I'm going to go Sirigu from Torino.
Screw it. Let's just go with Ospina. Let's have some fun with Napoli. Well, actually, it depends if Marais starts more. But anyways.
I'm gonna go Dragowski out on the limb there with Fiorentina.
With Fiorentina, yeah. And there you'll have it. Join us next week on the Calcio Guys. Enjoy the first weekend in the Serie A.
It's gonna be a good one.
Starts off Saturday at 12. Relax, get that routine back, and
we'll be back next week.
Listen to the Calcio Guys. Have a good one.
Ciao.